Okay, I hate to break up social hour, but let's get ready. I have a lot I want to cover tonight. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit, who is the true teacher. And as far as prayer requests, we need to be in prayer for Eve, one of our beloved members. She had a major surgery. They went through her mouth to get to the spinal cord back there and all. Well, now her neck is just swollen real big and not going real well. The doctor said the surgery went well, but the after effects are not. So please be in prayer for Eve and, of course, Jim Langston. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this assembly. We thank you for the freedom we enjoy in this country, the freedom to study your word as we feel led by the Spirit, with no fear of intervention. We're so thankful for this freedom. We value it. Now, Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand as we move into the prophet-priest Ezekiel. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week we spent some time, first of all, on a big chart, covers the whole Old Testament, to see where Ezekiel fit in. Well, first of all, we studied this chart where we saw how Adam crossed all the way almost to Methuselah. Well, he crossed Methuselah, but Noah died just a couple of years before Noah, and so that gave you that outline. And then we studied the outline of the Bible, where he fits into history. And then we studied the flow of history with a wonderful chart that Kit had made up. So all of it is in the back if you still need it. Okay, this tonight. Why should we study prophecy? Why should we study end-time prophecy? First, there are so many different interpretations, different events in different orders on the timelines by different people. Secondly, this kind of study causes divisions and confusion. So let's just not study it, many people contend. Three, it is so difficult for pastors to study. It's confusing, difficult. Hebrew, Greek, and understanding the prophet, where he was, what was going on. It's very difficult for pastors. It causes division in the flock, so you just don't need to be done. And fourth, and the biggest one, add to this the very fact we won't be here. So why study it? You won't be in hell either. But we study it. See? There are so many different teachings on the gospel. But we study it. The gospel divides. There are people who add different works to the gospel. Everywhere from the Roman Catholic Church to various groups and sects and movements. Add to the gospel, but we study it so we will be accurate on it. And so now I want to take up some reasons why we should study prophecy, why we should study end time passages of Scripture. So why should we study these end time passages of Scripture is a title. Point one, because they are Scripture. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture, prophetic Scripture, Scripture dealing with end time events, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, your born-again believer, you have God, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All Scripture, it has been calculated, I don't know, I'm just going by what different people say, 1/3 of the Bible is prophecy. 1/3. So, if we're going to be students of the Word of God, we're going to have to study that 1/3. All Scripture is profitable to your life, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, understanding of history, past history, current history, future history, training in righteousness. And the more we know of the future, the more we will endeavor to live a righteous life, knowing what's going to happen. That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's everything that we do. We want to be adequately equipped to handle it. When you talk with others, you want to know why Christianity, why not Mormonism, why not Islam, why not Hinduism, why Christianity? So the first reason why study the Scriptures dealing with end time events, because it is Scripture. And as far as I'm concerned, that's it. To me, that settles it. I've got 14 others. But to me, that's the bottom line. It's Scripture. So let's don't go any further. It's Scripture. Point two, for effective witnessing. When someone asks, why should I believe in Jesus Christ? You can relate them to past history, the cross, future history, as well as eternity, in time and eternity, giving the gospel. So for effective witnessing. Three, because there is a special blessing related to the study of end time passages. Let's look at Revelation 1:3. Revelation 1:3. So the third reason, because there is special blessing related to study of end time passages. Revelation 1:3, blessed. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. You want a special blessing from God? Here it is. And who doesn't want blessings from God? We all want blessings from God. Even the most self-righteous person wants blessings from God. So, how can I get blessings from God? Reading, studying, understanding old time, end time events, prophecy. So, one, because of Scripture. Two, for effective witnessing. And three, just to receive a blessing. Now, four. For those who believe in the Word of God, proof from prophecy. Proof from prophecy. Prophecy is the proof of many things. Proof is the prophecy is the proof of many truths. Subpoint one, God's sovereignty over the affairs of the world, the rise and fall of people, of nations, all understood if you understand prophecy. Let's look at Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. I used to turn to this quite often, had turned to it some time, and I thought, well, here's a good time to turn back to it. One of my favorite passages in Scripture. Isaiah 41. And let's look at verses 21 through 26. Isaiah 41, 21. Present, now, Isaiah 40 through 60. You have to be careful reading it. It reads like a discussion between God and Satan. It's like God is saying some things to Satan and to the world. Not just to Israel, but to everyone. And it's very powerful. So let's look at it in that respect. So Isaiah 41, 21, present your case. Satan, you claim you are. Satan says, I am. So God says, present your case. The Lord says, bring forward your strong arguments. Give me your best. The king of Jacob says, let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. Future events. Prophecy. Let them do it. As for the former events, declare what they were. Explain the past. Tell me what's going to happen in the future and correctly explain the past. A lot of people don't even understand why. Certain things happen in history. Why America? All these type of things. Why? Why Martin Luther? Why? Explain the past. Tell me what's going to happen in the future. Explain the past. Continuing verse 22. Now you do that, that we may consider them and know their outcome. Or announce to us what is coming. Prophecy. See, if we study prophecy and we know their fulfillment of so much, we're learning about God. God controls history. That's what he's saying here. I'm in control. Verse 23. Declare the things that are going to come afterward. Tell me the future. Tell me what's going to happen after that. See, for example, we talk about the rapture and what's going to happen after the rapture. Nation of Israel, what's going to happen after that. The second advent, what's going to happen after that. Battle of Armageddon, what's going to happen after that. The millennial kingdom, what's going to happen after that. Judgment seat of Christ, what's going to happen. I mean, the great white throne judgment. What's going to happen after that? Eternity future. Be ready. See? So, 23, declare the things that are going to come afterward, that we may know that you are gods. See, that's one of the fun things to do in the Bible. Make a list of what qualifies one to be God. May sound silly, but just do it. Make a list. What qualifies to be God? And to be able to predict the future correctly is one of the qualifications to be God. So that's where that comes from. Indeed, do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together if you're able to do the evil. See, verse 24, behold, you are of no account. I love that phrase. You're no account. You can't do that. Well, why are we listening to you? Well, we care what you have to say. See? And people, if you understand Scripture and prophecy and what's going on, this is the way I feel about the world, the government, educational system. Why should I listen to you? You have no account. You can't do those things. You like to say where we came from, but you're wrong. You reject the truth. You're wrong. You can't do it. So you are of no account. And your work amounts to nothing. All your work amounts to nothing. I just love this. He who chooses you is an abomination. Verse 25. I have aroused one from the north and he has come. From the rising of the sun, he will call on my name, and he will come upon rulers as upon mortar, even as the potter treads clay. Who has declared this from the beginning, that we may know? Or from former times, that we may say, he's right! God's right! Surely there is no one who declared. Surely there is no one who proclaimed. Surely there was no one who heard your words. It's just me. I'm the only one. Now let's look at chapter 46. Chapter 46. Same line of thinking, same line of argument. Chapter 46, let's begin reading in verse 8. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country, truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass, I have planted, surely I will do it. So why study prophecy? Because people, if we study prophecy, we learn of God's existence, God's sovereignty. It's just assuring. There's a peace. When we were little, I don't know about anybody else, so I just talk about me. When I was little, I used to love John Wayne movies. Because when he entered, it's all going to be taken care of now. Everything's going to be taken care of. Big John's here. With his big guns. It's going to be, and that's the way it is with God. When we study prophecy, you learn he's in sovereign control. I'm at peace. I'm not going to get all excited. Who wins presidency? Who doesn't win presidency? Who wins this? Who wins that? What this happens? What that? To my own health. To my, anybody's. He's in control. There's a peace. If you know prophecy, it gives peace to who's in sovereign control. There's no other book on the planet Earth like the Bible. Not the books of Islam, not the book of the Mormons, not the books of the Hindus, the Buddhists. There's no book like the Bible with fulfilled prophecy to guarantee the fulfillment of prophecy yet to be fulfilled. There's not anything to even come close to it. To our book. This book just gives that calmness, that peace, that assurance. Secondly, proof of God's faithfulness. The proof of God's faithfulness. As God has fulfilled His promises and prophecies of the past, He will fulfill all the promises and prophecies of the future. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. He's faithful in the past. He's faithful now. The birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ. He will be faithful to all of His promises of the future. And people, not here, but on the internet, if you've not believed in Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, do it now. Do it right now. Don't wait a minute. God is faithful to the gospel. God is faithful to His Son. God is vengeful to all who do not believe in His Son. Don't just study the Bible. Study prophecy in the Bible. It is there, so we will know He is and has always been, and that He has a plan. We can trust everything He says. I heard for those who believe everyone is going to heaven, that God loves everyone. Therefore, everyone is going to be saved. I feel so sorry for these people. Please understand His love. And we're studying that on Sunday morning at the 9:15 class. And know that He is a righteous God. He has love, but He's a righteous God. This is what prophecy teaches us. That God is righteous. You want to know what we learn from prophecy? Look at Nahum 1. Look at Nahum 1. Begin reading in verse 1 of Nahum 1. The oracle of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. That's who He is, people. God is love. God is jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserves wrath for His enemies. We're all born enemies of God. How do you become not an enemy of God? Through Jesus Christ. That's how. Verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger, great in power. See, that's where a lot of people miss it. Well, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus. He's not going to do anything. All that stuff's not believable. It's not going to happen. And people, what you have is a period of grace. A time to make up your mind to believe in Jesus Christ. And the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Guilty of what? Rejecting His Son. In whirlwind and storm is His way, and clouds are the dust beneath His feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan, Carmel wither. The blossoms of Lebanon wither. Mountains quake because of Him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by His presence, the world and all inhabitants in it. People, this is God. We know Him. Study books like Ezekiel that we're studying. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Revelation, Daniel, and you'll learn about God. You'll learn about God. You'll learn you don't want to fool with Him. If He says believe on His Son, you better believe on His Son. That's what you better do. A man whom I respected so much, admired, and on a personal level, and forever grateful, to Dr. John F. Wolford, past president of Dallas Theological Seminary. In his classic book, and if you don't have this, I highly recommend it, probably one of the best books out there right now, The Prophecy Knowledge Handbook. The Prophecy Knowledge Handbook by John F. Wolford. Former teacher, professor, president, chancellor, Dallas Theological Seminary, says there are more than 1,000 prophecies recorded in the Bible. And some 500 have been fulfilled literally. That's amazing. With that kind of a track record, we can believe Him. with the 500 that have not been fulfilled. And while I'm here, there is not one prophecy to be fulfilled in regard to the rapture of the church. Not one prophecy needs to be fulfilled. This is why the rapture is imminent. It can happen at any time. There's no prophecy to be fulfilled. The next event in prophecy is the snatching out of all believers of the church age. Just taking them out. And I like to point out, every time I think of the rapture of the church, I have to think of the Texas A&M band at a football game at halftime. They are unbelievably precise. Unbelievable in their marching. And the way they leave the field is just remarkable. They just all head out. Wherever they are, they run off the field. That's the way the rapture is going to be. Going to be taken out. Point five on why study the prophecy. Biblical prophecy teaches and assures us that the man Jesus is the promised Messiah, the promised Savior of all mankind. It has been calculated that Jesus fulfilled up to 109 messianic prophecies. We study these prophecies, we see them fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Such precision in these prophecies. Things written 500 years before he was born, that he'd be born of a virgin, not a woman impregnated by a man, Isaiah 7:14, but a woman impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Not only that, that he would be born in Bethlehem. Now, we can't even say 100 years some relative of ours is going to be born, where he's going to be born, it's going to be a boy, a girl, where, all this. 500 years before where he's going to be born, he'll be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. Also, not only did he come from Bethlehem, he'll come from Egypt. Hosea 11:1. And then to confuse Satan all the more, he will be a Nazarene. So Satan figure out where he's going to be. Bethlehem, Egypt, or Nazareth. Where is he going to be? By the way, Bethlehem teaches of his deity. Egypt, of his humanity. Nazareth, the hypostatic union. All fulfilled by his birth in the New Testament. Then there are over 50 prophecies concerning his death, burial, and resurrection. Every one of them came true in Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection. We learn from prophecy we can trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Okay, Brian, happy about your job. That's great. We give thanks for that. What we're in the midst of doing is studying why we need to study prophecy. We looked at why people say we shouldn't, we're not going to be here and all of that. We should study it because it is Scripture. Two, we should study it for effective witnessing. Three, because there is a special blessing for those who are studying of prophecy, Revelation 1:3. Four, because of proof of prophecy, proof of the existence of God and His sovereign control, and then four, of Jesus Christ. Now, point five, the fifth reason. That's what we're studying now. Number five, biblical prophecy teaches and assures us that the man Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Savior of all mankind. That brings us to point six. Biblical prophecy and belief in the fulfillment of 7 years promised to Israel counters replacement theology, gives proper belief and compassion for all Jews. No country in all history has a land deed given to them by God, save Israel. Israel's the only nation given a land deed by God. Every time you see a Jew in a store, work, TV, wherever, give thanks to God. He's faithful. Many throughout history, right up to this very day, have declared, I will get rid of all Jews. I will exterminate them. The book of Esther, Pharaoh, on and on and on. Hitler, and now in the Middle East, going to get rid, annihilate. And they're still here. The more you try to multiply them, or the more you try to kill them, the more they multiply. See? They just keep growing in number. See? So, just like God said, they would be at the very end. See? And they will be scattered over the world, and they're scattered over the world until, at the second advent, Jesus Christ sends His angels to all over the world. I don't know how this is going to happen. All I tell you is in Matthew 24, Jesus 25, Jesus said He will send His angels to gather them to Israel. So somehow, they're all going to be transported, the ones that are not there already. Wherever they are, Dallas, Brazil, wherever they are, they'll be transported. Why do we know that? Prophecy. So we understand where they are in history now, where they fit in. 7, biblical prophecy and belief in it gives us the assurance of the second coming of Christ. That's right. We learn about the second advent by studying a prophecy. 8, His millennial kingdom. That Jesus Christ will rule right here on planet Earth for 1,000 years. And this counters all the scare tactics and how the climate is going to end the Earth and mankind. This nincompoop from Texas named Beto, he came out with an idea, spend trillions to save the climate of Earth so we can save the Earth. People, the earth doesn't need to be saved. Beto needs to be saved. People need to be saved. Not the earth. How do we know that? Prophecy. See? Prophecy. This earth is guaranteed a minimum of 1,007 years. Minimum. I say minimum, that's if it happens right now. The rapture. See? Maximum, I don't know. But I guarantee the earth is good for 1,007 years. The climate, the meteorites coming at the earth, all these things that are going to hit the earth and destroy it, all this kind of stuff, this is going to happen. We have confidence, peace, assurance, because of prophecy. Remember, truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Truth sounds like hate. The gospel sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Those who hate the gospel. What's going to happen to the earth? All these type of things. It is so wonderful and assuring to know where you are in history, and you can know by the study of prophecy. 9. Knowing and believing in prophecy gives peace and assurance against multitude of lies today. Islam will control the world and usher in world peace by destroying anyone that doesn't worship Allah. See? Iran has promised to wipe out Israel off the earth, exterminate every Jew. All these kinds of things. Don't get excited. Just smile. Because I got to tell you something. God's laughing. Psalm chapter 2, God is laughing at the plans of men. 10. Assurance of the existence of planet Earth, an extension of what I just said, but I want to concentrate more on it. It will be here for 1,007 years at the least. that man will destroy the earth or the world with or by poor handling of the earth, by nuclear power. What we learn from prophecy, it's good for 1,007 years. Now, the world will destroy 1/3 of population, we know that, in World War III. But the world will continue on for 1,000 years after that. Pure, beautiful climate. And I say this in humor. I'm not all that excited about a lion and a lamb lying down together. I like a lion. Roar! See? But I do love the weather of the millennium. Boy, you get a suntan any day of the year. It's going to be great. See? Beautiful climate. The world will not run out of drinkable water. It will not run out of food. All kinds of modern fear propaganda. If you know and believe biblical prophecy, no fear. You just smile. 11. Knowledge of and belief in a new heavens and new earth gives peace and comfort to those who believe in biblical prophecy. It's all going to fit into a wonderful plan. The timeline is beautiful. 12. Another passage on the importance of knowing biblical prophecy. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 4. But you, brethren, believers, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. You don't want to be in darkness. Study prophecy, you won't be in darkness. You won't be. You'll be well in line with everything. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. There's a peace. Oh, you may not have the world's goods. You may not drive a fancy car. You may not be able to go to fancy places and all, but there's such a peace. Everything's in control. I'm in the light. We are not of night, nor of darkness. Verse 6, so then, let us not sleep as others do. Let us be alert and sober. How? By studying prophecy, studying in time. And then the all-important passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you're doing. Okay, here we learn some important points about prophecy of end times. It's not meant to divide, but to encourage one another. Encourage other believers with the assurance of end-time prophecy. Concentrate on the things of assurance, the rapture, removal of the church, 7 more years in Israel's history. Church and the earth and Israel are not on earth at the same time. Don't get them confused. Some people say the church will be here with Israel. No, don't get them confused. God doesn't. God doesn't get them confused. See? The 7 years we call 7 years of tribulation are the last 7 years promised to Israel. Unfortunately, they're characterized by tribulation and great tribulation. But it's not the church. Daniel 70th week. Jesus Christ is coming again. Battle of Armageddon. Millennial kingdom. These things are certain. Upon these things we can have fellowship. Don't get into arguments about where they fit on different people's timetable. I like to use my example here. the crucifixion. As crucial as a crucifixion is, I can have fellowship with someone who believes the crucifixion took place Wednesday, which is when I believe it did. Thursday is when one of us believe it did. And somehow, some people believe it can be Friday. Somehow they get 3 days and three nights from Friday, but that's okay. As long as they believe he died, bearing the judgment and sins of the world, and will rise again, I can have fellowship. It's not worth spitting over. And neither is the timeline of these events. I know the rapture. I know 7 years of tribulation. I know second return of Christ. Do you believe he's going to come again? Then let's have fellowship. Do you believe he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years? Let's have fellowship. That's what prophecy is designed to do. Encourage one another. Encourage yourself. See? Build up. What does build up mean? It means to build up your faith. Build up your desire to study the Word of God. Build up. People, I feel so sorry for people who sit and get aggravated with news. CBS, NBC, Fox News, whatever. Nothing could be more discouraging. All it takes is 10 minutes and boy, I'm a nervous wreck. Go to the Bible. Get your biblical prophetic news. What's going to happen? See, that's the important thing. Setting up his kingdom. Encouraging one another. Building up one another with these assurances. See, that's what we need to do with prophecy. You build up. You give assurance to one another. 13. Truthful understanding of Israel. Prophecy gives truthful understanding of Israel. The Jews in God's plan of the future, in Bible prophecy, and end times. Let's look at Romans 11:26. Romans 11:26. And so all Israel will be saved. Jews all over the earth, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. The millennium is going to be unbelievable if you're a Jew. You're going to be locked in to positive volition. Gentiles won't, but Jews will be. Not only 7 final years promised to them in Daniel 70 of the week, but a glorious place of the Jews in the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. So it gives a correct understanding. Prophecy gives a correct view of Israel, their future. 14. And very important to the ordinary life of every believer, knowledge of and belief in end-time prophecy encourages every believer not to forsake growing in the Word of God. Not forsake sound doctrine. We know in a study of prophecy, we're warned that this will happen to many believers at the end days of the church. Many will compromise and leave the truth. Not stay with it, they will compromise their doctrine to go along with the world. We're seeing that right now. They compromise morality. Well, the world says homosexuality is fine, lesbianism is fine, adultery is okay, being a pedophile. In California, they're now teaching being a pedophile is natural. It's just amazing. It's amazing where we are today. And there are Christians who follow suit on this, who believe it, accept it, and even live it. Study of prophecy causes us to hold on tight, to grab hold of sound doctrine. people. It is not important for Christians to be politically correct. It is correct for us to be biblically correct. That's what's important. Not be politically correct, be biblically correct. That's what you want to be. Not being taught how many will forsake sound doctrine. It's causing multitudes today to desire to be politically correct in subjects of morality. Same-sex marriage, doing away with sexes. Let me tell you something. And I believe this. If it weren't for the free enterprise system, Mother's Day wouldn't even be mentioned. But because free enterprise wants to make a buck, they'll talk about Mother's Day to sell you cards, flowers, candy, and so forth. And I'm afraid it's about the same thing is true with Christmas, the birth of Christ. A lot of that is just free enterprise system. It's not so much Christianity like it was at the beginning of our country. It's just free enterprise system. Make a buck. Christmas trees, Christmas ornaments, these kinds of things. Now, nativity scenes, on and on and on. But we should study the Old Testament, or study prophecy in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, so that we'll be encouraged to hold on to sound teaching. It is amazing what not being prophetically minded does to a person. People knew Scripture at the time of Jesus Christ's birth. I hope you know that. But they weren't looking for the Messiah. Can you imagine the number of people in the little town of Bethlehem that walked by that stable? Maybe even heard a baby cry. Had no idea there was the King of Kings. A few miles away in Jerusalem, Jews studied the Bible and knew it was to happen in Bethlehem. Didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. People, it's not a matter of just knowing the Bible. It's knowing prophetic Bible. It's knowing the Bible prophetically that's going to garrison your souls. In contrast to those that I just mentioned, there were people of the Bible who were looking. There was an 84-year-old woman who lived in the temple. And do you know why? Because she was waiting to see the Messiah. Her name was Anna, a prophetess, waiting to see the Messiah. And she praised Jesus when she saw him. There was an old man named Simeon, promised by God, you will not die until you see the Messiah. He saw the baby, and he said, now I can die. You see, people, it's not just knowing the Bible. It's knowing prophetic Bible. It's knowing what God's doing in history, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that causes us to hold on to these truths. See? Causes us to believe in these things. Scribes, Pharisees, studied the Scriptures all the time. Had no idea what was going on in history. Had no idea what was happening in Bethlehem. Had no idea Mary walking in with a baby. Jesus. No idea. Students of the Bible. And people, so it is today. There are people who study the Bible, don't believe in the rapture. Don't believe in the millennium. They study the Scriptures. It's all allegory. It's to teach other things. But it's not truth. So it's understanding biblical prophecy is not just understanding the Bible. It's understanding it prophetically. And finally, fulfilled prophecy assures us of the truthfulness of all that is recorded in the Word of God. Example, in His wisdom, man has decided that the earth was not created by God, But mankind was not created by God. That life itself was not created by God, but it just came out of an explosion. No explanation of what caused the explosion. No explanation of where those things came together to cause the explosion. Just an explosion. That mankind is just the highest level of animals on earth. Oh yes, and there's a higher level of terrestrial beings out there. You and I know them as angels. But they deny all of that. Being wise, they became fools. And they teach this to their children. They force this teaching on their children. People, it doesn't matter if every person on earth bought into that. It doesn't make it true. It doesn't change the fact God created the heavens and the earth. God created mankind. God created life out of nothing. Nothing! The old song, nothing comes from nothing. Oh yes, it does. The existence of the world, the whole universe, all the universes, you and I, nothing. Our souls. See? Man cannot tell the future, but our God can and does from the study of Isaiah 40. So, knowing and believing Bible prophecy gives the assurance that all the teachings of the Bible are true. I can believe He is the Creator. He created the universe. I can believe the universal flood, Tower of Babel, beginning of races and the languages, crossing of the Red Sea, crossing of the Sea of Jordan, walls of Jericho, Jonah and the well, right up to and including the birth of Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why? Because prophecy gave me that guarantee. Over 500 prophecies, He's fulfilled. He tells us He fulfills them. We can believe everything in the Bible. He created me. He created all things. See, this is so wonderful to know where you are in history, where history is going, where you will spend all eternity. Here are 15 reasons for studying prophecy, and I'm sure there are others. I'm sure there are others. I want you to be prophetically minded, not just biblically minded. So you will know what's going on. Not be influenced by media. You should listen to Bible broadcasts, not media broadcasts. I want to make grasping Bible prophecy easy and correct. So this is where we'll start next Wednesday night in the study of Ezekiel. We will dive right into the book. Now, as we prepare for that, let me give you some encouragement. The book of Ezekiel, you've got 1 week now. Let's see here. Book of Ezekiel is divided into three major parts. Three major parts, the book of Leviticus, or Ezekiel. One, or actually four, but three are the main thing. First of all, we have divine commission of a man called Ezekiel. Chapters 1-3. Secondly, now this is from Jimmy DeYoung. There are a lot of outlines for the book of Ezekiel, but I love this one. Message of retribution. Message of retribution 4-32. Chapters 4-32. Message of retribution to Judah. Not to Israel, to Judah 4-24. Message of retribution to the Gentile nations of Israel 25-32. Then the second major part, message of restoration. Message of restoration 33-48. A, message of restoration of the Jewish people, 33 through 39. Restoration of the Jewish practices, 40 through 48. So, between then and now, you have some time, kind of glance through. You want to look through the commission of Ezekiel, find out, because I'm not going to go this chapter by chapter. We don't have that kind of time. Well, we have the time, but I don't know when the rapture is going to occur. So, I don't want to take 5 years here. So, we'll just kind of go through some things, but if you want to see the divine commission of Ezekiel, or the retribution. In other words, God's judgment against Judah. Read through 4 through 24. God's judgment against the Gentile nations. But, unlike Jeremiah, Ezekiel ends with great comfort, great encouragement, restoration of the Jewish people. 33 through 39. Restoration of Jewish practices. 40 through 48. See? And if you want to have fun, there's one good chapter. Chapter 24. That's an interesting chapter because Ezekiel, the death of Ezekiel's wife is used as a sign to the nation of Judah. Then you got chapter 39, which deals with them old dry bones. There's just so much in this great book. So, he tells you things that happened. That's chapter 4 through 32. Things that are going to happen, chapter 33 through 48. So, that's where we'll begin next Wednesday night. I hope you have a chance just to take your Bibles, turn off, miss a little TV, look a little bit at Ezekiel, have fun and enjoy him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a God you are. How gracious, how compassionate you are to give us the assurance that you are God, that you're in sovereign control. And you did it by telling us the past, the present, the future. Understanding the past, living in future, confidence of the future. What an awesome God. We thank you. We praise you. And Father, I pray your Spirit can take the things we've seen tonight, move our hearts and our souls to want to learn prophecy. So 15 reasons why. Why we should know prophecy. There are many more reasons. I pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.